right. This is Radio Blowback, and we are with Sarah Anderson of the Institute for Policy Studies. Sarah, could you tell us a bit of what you do here at the Institute and a little bit of background about the Institute?
Yeah, the Institute for Policy Studies was founded in 1963, and it's a multi-issue research institute. We cover mostly international issues, but also some domestic. I work on global economy issues here at IPS, but I also do a lot of work around the Pinochet case, as does pretty much everyone here at IPS, because it's such an important part of this organization's history. And that's because back in 1976, two of our colleagues here at IPS were murdered right here in Washington by agents of the Pinochet regime. And so ever since then, we've been fighting for justice for our colleagues, Orlando Letelier and Ronnie Karpin Moffitt, and generally trying to raise issues about international human rights.
Can you tell us a little bit about who this Pinochet character is? Where does he come from? Who is he?
Well, Pinochet is now about 85 years old, but he was the dictator of Chile for 17 years until 1990. He continues, though, to have a lot of power in Chile, and because during his reign, he really created extreme terror in the country. Some 3,000 people were murdered under his dictatorship. He also waged an international reign of terror, and which extended, as I said, right here to Washington, where his agents killed two people. And he targeted people who were his political opponents and really almost eliminated a whole generation of more progressive left-wing political activists in the country. He remained head of the military until recently. He granted himself the job of senator for life, and so he managed, even after the transition to democracy in Chile, to maintain a lot of control over that society. Then, in 1998, something really dramatic happened, which was Pinochet went to London on business, and he was arrested. And he was arrested because there had been a case filed against him in Spain charging him with crimes against humanity, genocide, and torture. And the Spanish authorities had issued an arrest warrant for him, and so he was detained in London and kept there for over a year while people went through the judicial process there. He eventually was released on what they called humanitarian grounds. The British authorities were obviously under a lot of pressure to let this guy go. He'd been, you know, former head of state and so forth. So he went back to Chile. But that case has really had an incredible impact. And in fact, he is now, you know, facing prosecution in Chile. Right now, the efforts to put him on trial have stalled because last summer they ruled him mentally unfit to stand trial, but that's being appealed. And then elsewhere around the world, I think there are five countries now that have indicted him. France, Belgium, Spain, Argentina, and I'm missing one, maybe Italy. And here in the United States as well, there is an ongoing investigation into the murders of Letelier and Moffitt, our former colleagues here. And so we're pushing for the U.S. to join the other countries around the world who've indicted Pinochet.
How did the murders take place, and can you tell us a little bit about who Orlando Letelier was and who Ronnie Moffitt was?
Yeah, well, Orlando Letelier had been a high-ranking official in the government in Chile that was overthrown by Pinochet during a coup in 1973. Letelier was very well known internationally because he'd been the Chilean ambassador to the United States. Then returned to Chile and served both as defense minister and foreign minister. And then when there was the coup in Chile and Pinochet came in and bombed the palace where the government was located, and President Allende, the democratically elected president who was overthrown by him, was died during that attack. And then shortly afterwards, his high-ranking officials were rounded up and put in political prisoner camps. Orlando Letelier spent, I think, over a year under very severe conditions at a prison camp. And then because he was very well known internationally, there was a lot of pressure on Pinochet to release him. And he finally did, and people here at the Institute for Policy Studies offered him a job, and so he came to Washington, where he became one of the most well-known critics of the Pinochet regime, and he was targeted for that purpose. And so there was an order for him to be murdered, and it happened to happen one day when he was driving to work with two young people who also worked here at IPS. It was a married couple who had been married about 3 months. Ronnie Carpen Moffat was riding in the front seat. Her husband, Michael, was in the back seat. And what happened was a bomb had been installed underneath the car, and two Cubans had been hired to actually detonate the bomb. They drove behind the car as they went down Massachusetts Avenue. And when they got right about to Sheridan Circle, which is, you know, quite close to the inner city, DuPont Circle area, the bomb was detonated, and Michael Moffat was blown free and not severely injured, but Ronnie and Orlando, who were in the front seat, were both killed.
And what year did that assassination take place?
That was September 21st, 1976.
And when did Orlando first come to work with the Institute?
It was shortly after his release, I believe in 74. I know that they called him almost as soon as he got out of prison in Chile and offered him the job. And he came here and did a lot of incredible work in a short period of time. He was a big promoter of ideas around the new international economic order to try to shift more resources to the developing world. And he really promoted the ideas around social and economic rights as human rights. And so he was very prominent in pushing that agenda at the same time that, as I said, he became very well known as a critic of Pinochet. In fact, shortly before he died, he was stripped of his citizenship by Pinochet and gave a very powerful speech in New York to thousands of people where he said, you know, he was born a Chilean, he was still a Chilean, and he would die a Chilean no matter what was the status of his passport. And it was just very profound that it was only, I think, a couple of weeks after he gave that speech that he was murdered.